What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of I Live the 80s podcast. And we've got a guest tonight, along, of course, with my co-captain and Mr. Google over there. What's going on, guys? We have Scott with us.
Dude?
Hey.
How's it going, man? We have Scott with us again from, of course, it will Elevate the Sky, working hard on his new album. So welcome, Scott, to the show. And again, Camp. Thank you enough for that amazing song that we get to play every week.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you guys for having me on, for starters. And number two, thank you so much for doing anything 80s, because, you know, I love the 80s.
We got to keep it alive, man. We got to keep it alive. Oh, right. My gosh. Ed, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, dude?
It is MTV month. 45 years of MTV. I cannot believe it's that long. I can remember like it was yesterday sitting watching that first set of videos from 12 to 1 a.m. Oh man, what is going on with you? Excited?
Yeah, totally excited. Joe, I was told to be on my best behavior today because we have a guest, so I have to behave. Prince! Hey, Prince, it's good to see you today. Nice. Welcome. Thanks for coming on the show, Prince.
That's not Prince. What the hell's wrong with you, Google? I told you to behave.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry about that, Prince.
All right. Well, we're just going to put him down.
Oh, my.
Scott, I can't control him, man. I'm sorry, dude. Sorry.
It's all good. It's all
hey,
good.
Let's say hey to our friends, Brandon, Chris, Big Dan.
What's up, guys?
Our other friends,
are
welcome.
What's up, hope guys?
You're all doing well
how
tonight.
Are you?
We are, yes, Big Dan's chanting, I want my MTV.
Yes.
We're talking about tonight, because, I mean, we've got four shows lined up to cover it because, I mean, honestly, without it, we wouldn't be here. That's really it. It really did, you know, it created a decade and it changed the music industry. And that's why I'm glad Scott's here with us tonight, too, because, you know, it really changed the way we listen to music altogether. You know, it was basically just the radio. You didn't get any, and these things, the videos and stuff like that, they really acted as another means for people to get their music out there. And almost like it was almost like a musical ad in a way, for people to see what these bands are doing. Now, we'll have to talk about that. I want to talk about this with Scott too, because some of these videos were so hokey. And the bands themselves, like you hear Def Leppard talk about some of their old videos, and it's like they say they got, you know, they're swinging around the sword, and they're like, we had no clue what the hell we were doing. So I'll start off with you because, again, you know, you being a musician and stuff. So what did MTV's onset and seeing videos and stuff like that for the first time mean to you as a musician?
Oh wow, it definitely inspired my life in general, like just period, because it just right off the bat, as soon as I started watching MTV, I knew exactly what I wanted to do. And I mean, that was it, you know, just wanting to play any form of music, whether it was guitar or piano, it didn't matter. I just wanted to do that, you know, watching all those amazing artists on there. And it was just unique because even though we had like Friday night videos, before we had cable in my neighborhood, getting MTV or cable for the first time, able to watch MTV for the first time, it was just so much more grand because you had the VJs on there, you had all the live performances, you had all the special shows like 120 minutes, and of course Headbangers Ball. So it was just like this new world compared to Friday night videos. And because of that, I mean, that was it. You know, my life was set from that day, you know.
There you go. That's it. That's awesome. And I can't help but think that especially musicians like yourself that were influenced a lot by the 80s all are going to have a very similar answer, because I think this was just so big at the time that regardless of whether or not what bands you liked, you know, everything was out there for everybody to see. Now, the earliest videos started off with mostly concert footage, but then as they went on, they got to be, you had people come in and direct them and stuff like that. So I'm going to put you guys under a fire. What, and Ed, I'll start with you. First video you remember from MTV.
There's no fire. My first video, My first fight I remember was Thriller. Oh, actually, no. I remember Thriller with my brother because he called me in and he said, oh, you want to see something creepy? And it was the Thriller video. But you know what? I also remember Breaking the Law with Judas Priest. I remember him having me watch that one too with them. But Thriller was the first one I remember, though, was that one, Thriller. But Thriller. He used to love Priest. Breaking the Law was, that was a big one. I could sing that one word for word because my brother was a big Judas Priest fan. Huge.
It was so good. It was so good.
That wasn't my favorite one on the album, though. United was my favorite.
I can remember the video. I liked United. When I think of them, I think of Turbo Lover, and that's the one that sticks in my head. And I don't know if it's because of the animation and stuff like that on that one, but oh my gosh, Priest was so they were big. And Michael Jackson's Thriller, that was an event. I literally remember you heard about that. You heard John Landis, the guy who did American Werewolf in London, who did all those crazy special effects in that film, where with the humans morphing into the wolves and stuff like that. And you heard that he was going to direct the video, and there was a lot of build up to that. And then they premiered it, and you're sitting there, and it was this long, you know, however it was, what, 20 some minutes, I think it was 20 some minutes or so, and it was a mini movie. And it was absolutely amazing. And Michael Jackson, I of course, was huge, and Thriller was one of the best albums of all time. Scott, what's the first video that you can remember that, you know, you can go back and think of like, oh man, this just really got me. This was really cool.
Oh, wow. I'm probably going to have to say Thriller as well.
Yeah.
It was so huge at the time that, even though it had that epic, you know, intro and everything like a movie, it still got played quite a bit. So if you missed it, you were going to definitely catch it sometime that day. So, I would say Thriller.
Yeah, I mean, I think literally they would play it. It went off and then they play it in the next hour and then they would play it again in the next hour. So,
constantly.
They got heavy rotation. It was on all the time. But yeah, I mean, I think that really changed the landscape of it, because after that was when you kind of started to see more of these, you know, where the bands would have the recording, they'd go in and they do these cinematic videos, which was more like little mini movies instead of the live footage and stuff. And you'd still get the live stuff, but just not as much because go ahead.
Well, like Brandon Barnes, he said, beat it. Like, you know, Michael Jackson, I think he was the one that Beat It, Thriller, Bad, you know, he started doing it with like all of these epic videos, you know, Billie Jean. Mm-hmm. You know, Michael Jackson was one of the pioneers with the videos, you know, he was making these mini films. And then when Smooth Criminal came around, like when he did that whole Moonwalker thing, that was amazing. You know, Michael Jackson was definitely a pioneer when it came to music videos. And then, you know, they all started, you know, once one, you know, had success with a music video, then another artist, you know what, he's doing great with this and he's having great record sales, maybe I should start doing. Then Madonna did it with Like a Prayer, you know, she did it in what was that, 89 or 88?
That was
and then, you know, someone else would come along and do like an epic video. So, you know, once one went, they all went, you know, it was a big thing.
Nancy met Judas Priest. Nancy met so many cool artists. She talked to us last week on the show about meeting Alice Cooper, and I'm like, oh my God. Let's see. Gina just said, what'd she say there? I agree with Scott, and I can't see the comment because it rolled up already.
I agree with Scott. There are cool things to see and hear, but it did open kids up to a whole new world in many ways. It brought people together too. A whole new world. Yeah. You know, it did.
Definitely. It definitely did. It definitely did. Mm-hmm. I mean, when it came on, and again, if you were lucky enough to have cable back then, but I'm for some reason, and I don't know what it was, because again, we had that small, stupid slider box with the wood paneling on it that we had to, you know, use for cable. And I remember it was on channel 26, and luckily we got it because you didn't have a lot of channels back then. So if you're lucky to get it, when that came on. And it started to go in rotation all the time, where it just wouldn't cut off and be gone for a little bit and then come back on. I watched it all the time. I literally remember coming home from school and I put it on And then when I, after I'm done doing homework, whatever it was, I'd have it on again. And my mom was like, don't you watch anything else? My mom was getting mad. And I was like, oh my gosh. The video started to get even more like artistic too. They put more into, and the first one that comes to my mind with that is A-ha's Take on Me.
Oh yeah.
With the graphics they used, and yeah, like you never saw someone get pulled into a video before, and the animation and stuff that they used, and that was absolutely phenomenal. Do you guys remember? And I mean, Ed, you might be a little too young to, but do you guys remember they would have Friday night video fights? I don't know if you guys remember that.
No, I don't know if I remember that.
They used to put two videos that were very, very popular. And I remember everybody's fascination with 900 numbers then, because they wanted you to call in and pay on the phone. So they'd have two videos square off. I can't remember the VJ that did it. It may have been Alan Hunter. I don't really remember, but it was later at night every single Friday. Probably about 9 p.m. Eastern time every Friday. And they would get two of them. They play both of them. And then they would let people call in the 900 numbers, and they would vote to whichever one they wanted to win. And then about 2 hours or so later, they'd come back on and say, okay, blah, 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 won. And it was, I just remember, Def Leppard's Rock of Ages. And then they were number one for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And the band that knocked them off was ZZ Top. ZZ Top, Sharp Dressed Man. Not actually knock them off the top, but they would have that kind of stuff. And oh my goodness, it was, you saw new bands come in, a lot of these bands from overseas. It was almost like we had another British invasion of sorts in the 80s too.
Yeah,
a lot of these guys just saw way more success. They weren't like the band A-ha, they weren't that popular overseas, and then they come here and they just have these huge hits. Scott, what's a band that you can remember that, you know, you kind of got into specifically because you saw them on MTV?
Oh, wow. Quite a few, but definitely I would say Dokken and Def Leppard.
Oh, man.
Yeah, definitely. Like Dokken. After seeing the videos and stuff like Dream Warriors, Dokken.
Oh, God.
That was it.
When they started using videos for slasher films, I was in. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, right.
We talked last week about Alice Cooper doing He's Back, the Man Behind the Mask for Friday the 13th. Oh, and then you had Dokken doing the song for Dream Warriors. I was like, oh, this is fantastic. Ed, a band that you, I don't know, like a band maybe that you wouldn't have even listened to had it not been for seeing them on MTV.
Well, first, a couple comments. Nancy said MTV is just new to the world. We finally had something we can see. We finally had something we can see what we were hearing, which is true. Yes. You know, like what you're getting at. Kiss removing their makeup.
Yep. Good old JJ Jackson did that one. Yep, I remember well.
And, to go back on Gina's comment, Thriller probably led to other musicians wanting to expand their ideas of themes. Look at 90s with Guns N' Roses. She had to get a Guns N' Roses comment. November Rain, which was like an epic.
Oh.
But, you know, one of the bands that if I had not seen, we were talking earlier about like a video that stuck out to you that was an epic one, Money for Nothing. That was an awesome video. Dire Straits with all the computer animated things. Yes. I really don't know a band that if I, maybe not seen it, I wouldn't have listened to. There was just so many things that I liked. I really can't pick one out. I mean, it wouldn't have been one if I had not seen the video. I mean, I would just always turn it on and just watch it. And then if something popped out, I would just go out and get the CD. You know what I mean? I really wasn't one of those where like, I don't know if I saw it, I'm not less likely to buy it. You know what I mean? Like I'm more just listening to it.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm not really one of those.
Scott, you mentioned the VJs. What? I mean, it was like having disc jockeys on a screen. And you're used to hearing these, at the end of the 70s, early 80s, radio was still pretty prevalent. And a lot of stations around the areas, you'd have these, larger than life DJs and stuff like that you hear, and then mostly got hired for the voice. You never saw them. So to have them be on MTV like that And then they're basically announcing the videos. Now, they don't come on before every video, but they'll cut to them after like a block of two or three videos. And then they'll come in and they'll talk a little bit. It was just cool. And I think it grabbed people because of the fact that they were listening to the radio and could never really see who those people were. Now you can. What did you think of the VJs? And who was your favorite?
Oh, man. You know, the thing I loved about it versus a DJ, which, you know, probably a lot of people that grew up in a time like the 50s and 60s that was really experiencing it for the first time or even earlier, you know, probably felt like, wow, you know, we're getting to know these people on the air, you know, and I somewhat got that too. But once the VJs came about with MTV, it's like you felt like you knew them and like they were a personality. Somebody that every day you would be excited to, you know, turn on MTV and say, oh, there's my favorite VJ, you know, and my favorite, I'm going to get in trouble. No, my favorite was Carolyn Heldman. I had such a crush on her, And, that was my favorite. She was my favorite. And, probably my other favorite, I really liked, of course, Ricky Rackman because of, yes. Headbangers Ball,
yeah.
Adam Curry. And, yep. You know, I think those would be my favorites.
I always liked Martha Quinn, and I don't know why.
Yeah, Martha Quinn was cool.
Yeah, that whole Girl Next Door kind of a thing. And that was something, too. They all had, like, that different kind of personality. And at least at the very beginning, for probably the first, like, maybe 3 years or so, I think they kind of gave them the freedom to play what they liked, which was cool, too. Because they all kind of had different tastes. Like one of them would play more of the hair metal and the metal.
Yeah.
One of them would play more of the pop rock. One of them, like JJ Jackson, would play a little more of the soul, like the 80s soul music.
Oh, yeah, and, that's right.
And so like each
That's what they were going for. They were going for like the different personalities when they first hired them all at the beginning, you know?
Yes.
Nancy said she had let me go back because we lost. She had a crom on Alan Hunter. That's that was what's his name? Conan the Barbarian's god, wasn't it? Crom?
Yeah.
Crom.
No, it was a crush. It was autocorrect, but she had a crush on Alan Hunter.
It's a crom.
Yeah. But yeah, Alan Hunter. And then Rock, our good friend Chris, he said Adam Curry was the godfather, literally. I think that's what he meant to say. Autocorrect again. Now, a lot of them, they're all still alive, believe it or not. They're all kicking.
Oh, yeah.
My crush came later, and it was the 90s because I'm, you know, a little bit younger, was Daisy Fuentes. She was my favorite. I love Daisy Fuentes. Daisy. Yeah. I don't know where she's.
Do you remember iDallas?
Yes, I remember her. And then, of course, I liked what's his name with Headbangers later. It was Matt Pinfield.
He was cool.
He was like,
I liked him.
That big, like, but he had that gentle, quiet voice. Yeah, but he looked like he could just rip you to shreds in a bar fight, didn't he?
Yeah.
But he just had it real quiet. Oh, the Podfather, literally the inventor of the podcast. All right, Chris, you corrected me, sir. Awesome. Thank you.
Awesome. There you go. There you go. Yes. Kennedy. Yeah. Kennedy had a look too with the glasses and stuff like that. She kind of had that like Lisa Loeb look to her. So you kind of didn't think that, you know, again, you didn't really think that she'd be the one that would pick that particular kind of music. But, and that's, I was totally confused when I saw that whole, and because Ed mentioned it, the whole Kiss thing. I was there live to watch that. There I sit with my best friend. My best friend and I growing up are huge.
There
Kiss
you
fans.
Sit, broken hearted.
There we sit watching the screen, and we're getting to, you know, they get to the big reveal, and we're like, oh my God, they're going to show their faces. Oh my God, they're going to show that. And then we get it. And then JJ Jackson's like, all right. And he goes through, and here they are. And then Paul Stanley. And then you see Paul, and you're like, okay, all right. And you're like, and then they go, and then they did one of these.
Like that, where they all turn their heads, and then it, like the thing changes, and you're like,
"Yeah,
like, that's not
when
Kiss.
They got when
They're
they got
not
to
cool.
Gene Simmons. Oh my God, when they got the Gene, I'm like, oh dear Lord! Like Gene had this frizzy hairdo at the time, and we got to him, and you're like, he's not the demon anymore. Like, what? Who is this guy?
What was that video I just posted on our page? Was it Lick It Up?
Lick It Up.
If you Yeah, if you go on YouTube and you pull up their Lick It Up video and just read the comments on YouTube, if you just want to laugh your ass off for about a good hour at the comments about just how they're all busting Gene's balls, it is the funniest thing. You will laugh and laugh about just how so cheesy that video was. And I mean, what was it? They had women like dressed like warriors and they're like crawling out of storm drains. And then Gene's walking with like his skin tight pants with his curly frizzy hair
with the zebra pattern.
And Paul's chest hair is sticking out that looks like pubic hair on his chest. And then Paul's like doing his head thing. He looks like he's having like a seizure. And then Gene's one eye is drooping where he looks like he's having a stroke. Oh my God. It is the worst. And then the sad thing is Gene still has had more sex than all of us, and probably the whole zip code that I live in combined. That's how much sex Gene Simmons has had with women. And Gene looked like he was having a stroke during the time of the filming of that video. That's how bad it was. Oh my God. I'm seriously, watch that video. It's terrible.
That was not one of, well, you know what? They followed that up with, oh my God, All Hell's Breaking
All Hell's
Loose.
Breaking Loose.
Oh, was? Right. I thought it was Thrills in the Night.
No, it was All Hell's Breaking Loose. It was the same thing. Mm-hmm. You had that. They were almost dressed the same way, a little bit differently. But again, post-apocalyptic things was huge then. All the bands did them.
Huge.
They all had it. Like, let's go into this. All the directors that did those videos must have been like, you know what? We got to have a nuclear. Well, I guess, you know, you had the nuclear thing. You had the nuclear threat with Russia. So I guess they figured, we're going to just destroy a landscape. You're going to go out there. You're going to have some scantily clad women with you that look like they're half burned up and their hair is all over the place. And that's it. And just that's what you're going to do. But that was – it was huge for me because, I mean, we were fans of Kiss since we were seven, eight. It was the first cassette I ever bought. And then to see that, because they did such a good job of hiding their faces. And it was talked about on a recent documentary that they literally had to keep, you know, put newspapers over their faces. They have people hiding there. And so to see it, and even though, was it the biggest disappointment? I mean, you know, it wasn't great.
It was liberating at least then.
But it was, I mean, for, you know, kids who were at the time, what was I? 13, you know, probably 13, 14 years old. I mean, it was still huge. So my favorite music video is I Love Rock and Roll by Joan Jett. Great song.
Oh, that's
absolutely
a good one.
Great song. Yep.
Yeah.
Dee Snider has a great quote. He said, "We saw all of Kiss and everyone was shocked that Gene was very ethnic." Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's not a bad thought, probably. Because, you know, you're seeing them all with the kabuki white makeup on their faces. So you don't know. And then when you see that, you're like, wow, okay. Yeah.
They're four Jewish guys from, where were they from? New York?
Right.
New York City.
Who wanted to make money.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. All right. Let's turn our attention to, because again, you wouldn't talk about 80s without talking about hair metal. And so we got to get into Headbangers Ball. When this show first came on, and again, MTV would do a great job of advertising things that were going to come out soon. So when you first saw that logo appear on screen, you're like, oh, what's this? And then the thing was, whoever marketed this marketed it about as perfectly as you could, because they had it where, like, all right, we're going to do a metal show. We're going to make sure it comes on at midnight. Now, who stays up at midnight? So whoever was thinking this, and it's not like the music had, because they weren't even really allowed to play like anything like risque with, you know, with F-bombs and stuff. And you didn't have, groups weren't recording that back then. So, you know, but the thought behind it was the parents are going to be in bed. So the kids are going to be watching this loud show. And, you know, like whoever came up with it, it was absolute genius. And the show would go from 12 to 2. So 12 o'clock at night to 2 o'clock in the morning. Every single week, I didn't miss a minute. I did not miss a minute. And you got introduced to bands that maybe were not seen very much. And I can remember a band like Metallica. So they had albums out, you know, Kill 'Em All, Master Puppets, Ride the Lightning. But again, they weren't really doing videos. And then on Headbangers Ball, you got the debut of one, which was the first video that they did. And, you know, so now you got these people who are listening to some of these bands that, and they're like, they'll never be on MTV. I'm not watching that now. Well, now all of a sudden, now you've got them interested because now you're playing this stuff that they don't really show in regular rotation that much during the day because they're playing the pop rock. They're playing the, you know, the top 40 and stuff like that mostly. But now you have a show that introduces you to guys like King Diamond. Oh, and yeah. bands like Halloween and Grim and I'll Reaper. Tell you oh yeah like all yeah. of this stuff that you just never heard. And yeah, they threw in the hair metal too, but even the hair metal that they had, I got introduced to a band called Queensryche. And oh, I'll yes. tell you what,
who's that band?
Ed knows full well.
Called Queensryche
all of the time. Yes but I mean, it was such a, I absolutely loved that band. And when I got to her, you know, and they came out with Operation Mindcrime, which was a concept album. And it was like, wow, okay. I was working in a record store at the time. I remember seeing the album in the store and I'm like, what is this? And I saw the hype label on it saying, you know, best concept album since Pink Floyd's The Wall. And I'm like, oh, I got to check this out. And then I started to see the video advertisements and stuff for it. And oh my gosh, Jeff Tate, probably one of the best metal lyricists I think I've ever heard. The guy can really sing. But I found so many bands on there. And the Halloween episodes, especially loved the Halloween because they made them horror kind of themed. And they play a lot of Ozzy. You know, they play a lot of, they play Queensryche. They would play Halloween, you know, some, so a lot of this stuff, King Diamond would get played on the Halloween episodes. Scott, tell me about Headbangers Ball and, you know, when you first saw it and how you kind of got into it and realized that, you know, hey, this is completely different than what they've been playing before.
Oh, man. It was like discovering the Holy Grail because, well, first and foremost, I was already into Kiss and Def Leppard and Bon Jovi, Motley Crue, you know, from the radio. So, I would always be on there just watching all day long, hoping to see one of those bands. And if you're lucky, you'd see them every now and then. Yep. And then lo and behold, here comes Headbangers Ball debuting. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This is the greatest thing ever.
Yep.
And it was just, you know, it really was life changing. Because once again, you know, I was already into music, but this really solidified being into rock music. Like that was my thing from that point on, and being able to just watch it every week for 2 hours so you can watch all these amazing bands from, you know, people you knew like Kiss and Metallica and stuff to bands like obscure like Sabotage and TNT. Yeah. You know, it was just wow, TNT. You know, being able to discover all these awesome rock, hard rock and metal bands was just phenomenal.
Tony Harnell from TNT is another one. Oh my gosh, can he
incredible
sing?
Incredible singer.
He's the nicest dude too. I think I followed him on Twitter years ago, and I'll go and I'll say something. I'll be like, "Oh, I loved it. I loved the Intuition album." And I remember telling him or something. I wrote and I added him. And a lot of times people don't even bother when you add them in a tweet because they get so many that they don't see them.
He responds.
Yeah, and then he does. He really did. He came out. And he's like, "Thanks, awesome, man." And I'm like, "Wow, that was actually really cool." But oh yeah, I love TNT as well.
Yeah, Pluto Michael needs Sweet is another one that responds pretty well too.
From Striper.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's really nice. So like, if you go on his page, the Michael Sweet Facebook page, and you just comment. I mean, not every time, but every once in a while, he'll comment back, and it's like, Michael Sweet, just talk to me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And that's exactly what it was like. Like it was like, okay, that's really cool. Like, you know, these guys that had played in front of hundreds of thousands of people. And then all of a sudden it's like, he actually answered a question of mine. It was like, that's actually pretty cool. Ed, I know you got into metal a little bit in the 90s. So, and I know Ed's a big Alice in Chains fan. And you know, you got it. So Headbangers Ball went through the 80s. And then went into the 90s. Now, when the 90s, of course, changed and you got the grunge and you got the Seattle scene and you got all that stuff, that's when you were talking about with Pinfield being on there. And that's where that kind of stuff came up. So did you get a chance even, you know, and listen, I know you were younger, but did you get a chance then to watch, or have you ever gone back and seen some of them from the 90s?
Yeah, dude, I watched Headbangers Ball. I just wasn't like, you know, obsessed like you. Yeah, I watched it though. Like I didn't watch it like that as much. You know what I mean? But no, I liked I was more like I liked like Nirvana and like I got into the grunge like Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains, like all those kind of because I came like later. Right. I loved all that stuff. I followed all the Seattle scene. But then like after that, like my big band was like Nine Inch Nails. That was my band. Like everything about Trent, love Trent. Once he came like 89, once he came into that stuff, it was like, and then everything else was gone. I love Nine Inch Nails, but I saw that stuff. And then like Gina said, when Guns N' Roses trashed the set of Headbangers Ball, that was a big memory that she loved. Yes. That. But that was another neat thing with Headbangers Ball, how they would have the guests,
the bands,
the musicians on there, the bands on there as guests. They would come on for the night and trash. And how about the thing with Headbangers Ball when they started to have tours, and they would have like Halloween on there, on their tour, and then I think Suicidal Tendencies was one of their tours. Yeah. They have them as part of it. That was a big thing too. Nancy was also mentioning Girl Power. Do you remember when Lita Ford and Ozzy got together? Metal. That was a big thing. Yeah. I remember seeing that and I'm like, cause I liked Ozzy. I was a big Ozzy fan. And then all of a sudden seeing like, who's Ozzy teaming up with this? Who's this? Cause I wasn't familiar with Lita Ford. And I remember seeing for the first time, like, who's this lady? And then Ozzy's on there and I'm like, whoa, this isn't bad. And then it started getting me into like her kind of stuff. And I'm like, wow, she rocks. So like that was a cool thing how it like bridged the gap. And then, you know, we'll talk a little bit about when Aerosmith, you know, with Run DMC, when they crossed over. And then how about later with Public Enemy and Anthrax with Bring the Noise?
Yeah.
You know, so then we had like rap and rock crossing. And then later in my time, the Judgment Night album was like, Scott, do you remember that? That was a huge thing in the night. That was, I love that album when you had rap and rock together, you know, collaborating. That was like one of the coolest things. And you know,
it just oddly never really took off either. I mean, you had bands like Limp Bizkit and Linkin Park, but it was totally different. But what Public Enemy and Anthrax did, you thought that particular sound would have taken off.
Yeah.
But unfortunately it didn't, because that was amazing.
You had a little bit of that with Faith No More's Epic, too.
Yeah, yeah,
when Faith No More's Epic came out, you were like, oh, and like that blew people away. It was absolutely great. You had all this stuff like kind of going over each other and kind of collaborating with each other. But Headbangers Ball for me, it got me into this. And, you know, talking about the women, there were a lot of women in metal. You had Vixen, she mentioned. You had Warlock.
Doro.
Doro Pesh.
Wow, her voice. Incredible.
Yes, absolutely incredible. You had Lita. There was a band that I had, it was one of those like cassettes I just bought on a whim because I heard a song called Love Has Taken Its Toll. The band was called Soraya, and the lead singer's name was Sandy Soraya.
Soraya.
Another one who I absolutely loved her voice. Oh, so good.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're, and it was cool. I mean, you had women that were coming out, and there were a lot of women in, you know, women in metal bands, which was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Nancy says Striper was yellow and black when they were Christian, and they changed their colors to blue and black when they weren't. And that was the end of them. They're still around. They still make albums. Yeah. They've still had albums coming out recently. Keith said that's a good song, Lita and Ozzy. Yeah, if I close my eyes forever. Great. Yeah, great song and a great video. Absolutely. Chris says Vixen. Yeah, I mean, On the Edge of a Broken Heart was what the song was that debuted there, but they had a couple different hits from that, and then kind of got, they had another album that came out after that, but it didn't really do as well and stuff. But they were great. They're absolutely great. You saw Striper last year. There you go. That's awesome. That's awesome, man. Oh, Ronnie James Dio.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love the song. I liked some songs by him. I love We Rock, but I liked Rock and Roll Children. Rock and Roll Children
was one of my favorites. Oh, yeah, Sacred Heart album is underrated.
Yes. That was such a great song, and the video for that was tremendous. Yes. Yes. Rest in peace, Dio. Absolutely awesome. Walk This Way is epic. All right, so she's talking about Run DMC with Aerosmith. Absolutely. I mean, listen, Aerosmith, when they had a little bit of a weird story. They got away from putting out albums for a little bit, and then all of a sudden, Permanent Vacation. And Permanent Vacation started with, and you know, Love in an Elevator, and then they became huge. You
brought them back.
Huge, on MTV. And you know, they were on all the time. They were on Headbangers Ball quite a bit. They were seen a lot on the channel, and they just took off. I mean, every video they did, Janie's Got a Gun. When Janie's Got a Gun came out, was absolutely
pumped. When the Pump album came out in '89,
late '80s. Yeah. But all of that start. I have to ask you guys. I mean, for me, and again, Headbangers Ball, other shows and things like that, always led me right to a record store. So whatever they looked to accomplish, they certainly did, because they got me to go. And now I worked in one, so it was a little bit easier. But that's the reason why I spent all my money. I'm dropping all of my paycheck right back in that store because I'm buying all these albums. I hear one or two songs, and then I end up buying the entire album anyway. I didn't have to listen to the whole thing. And I think that it's a little bit – that thing's kind of gone now because of digital. You can literally go into digital, listen to an entire album now. And it's like, you know, you don't get that surprise of opening that, the vinyl
or
the cassette. Fighting with the plastic things, like Ed used to say. Oh God, were they horrible!
Yeah.
Those stupid plastic key things that you buy.
How many scars do we have on our fingers from trying to cut that open with your scissors?
Right?
Oh my God, I ruined so many of my mom's kitchen knives with those dumb things.
You know what's funny? I literally just, when we were talking about Judgment Night, I just went on Apple Music and typed in Judgment Night and added it because I forgot about that. You know, like, how funny is that? You know, it's convenient, but it's, you miss that, you know?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Same thing with Shazam. Like, how convenient is Shazam? You hear something on the radio and you're like, or even just in general, you're like, what the hell is that song? I want that Shazam. Boom, there it is. Boom, add it. You know, like, technology's great. Like before the podcast, we were talking, it's great when it works, but when it doesn't, it sucks. You know?
Yeah.
I agree. Gina says Manowar. What album in the 80s do you guys think sold the most thanks to MTV's exposure? Wow.
Hysteria.
Okay. So that's right. Oh, I was just going to, you took the words right out of my mouth. Go ahead. Yep. Go ahead. I'll try to think of a different one. Hysteria. Absolutely, dude.
I was going to say Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson's Thriller. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe Bruce Springsteen, Born in the USA.
Yeah,
Born in
the USA.
Yeah.
Man, you guys took all the good ones. I got to think of a different one. What album took off because of MTV? Who had a lot of videos on MTV? You know what a band I can think of that had a lot? So Genesis. The band Genesis had tons of videos on MTV, and they got to be MTV darlings too, like I Can't Dance, Land of Confusion with all the claymation figures and stuff that they used in
that was a huge one.
So I think that a band that may have not, you know, I mean, with the Peter Gabriel era, and then they kind of went, you know, the Phil Collins era, they may have not been, you know, right up there in popularity, but then they just exploded when they had. How about the Police? The Police and Synchronicity. And you know, it sucked that they were on top of the world with Every Breath You Take. On top of the world. There wasn't a rotation you'd go through and didn't see that song. And then it just, you know, they broke up. They literally broke up right afterwards because they couldn't stand each other anymore. They were so big. Let's see what Purple Rain. Oh man.
Prince. Oh my gosh, Prince.
That's a good one.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. The whole album was good. I just learned this. Aerosmith Dream On sounds different from their other songs, and he said he was unsure of his voice, so he sang it different from the rest of their songs. Wow, okay. That's cool. Pink Houses by John Cougar. Great one. so many. Motley Crue. Oh man, from Livewire to, you know, to Smoking in a Boys Room to Too Young to Fall in Love to, you know, and then you got into Dr. Feelgood in the end. Oh yeah, their videos absolutely got them. I mean, the rotating drums.
Yeah.
Wow, when you saw a rotating drum, awesome. You're like, oh, is this amazing?
Yeah.
Chris says Rockwell with Somebody's Watching Me, one hit wonder, but yes. And of course, he had Michael Jackson helping him. So how could you not love that? ZZ Top says Rusty. Oh my gosh. Sharp Dressed Man. Give Me All Your Lovin'. Of course, that car. I used to see cars like that driving down with those, with the stripes on the sides. And I'm like, oh, that's amazing. Brothers in Arms by Dire Straits was a fantastic album. So I'll put this to both of you too, because when you said Hysteria, Chris, you reminded me that that was literally the, I think it was one of the only cassettes I had ever worn out. I never right. really played a cassette so much that I literally wore it out. I had to buy it again because all the labeling, the song list and everything faded off the entire cassette. There was nothing left on it because I played it so much and I wore it out. Is there anything that you guys get? Escape Club, Wild Wild West is a great one. Is there anything that you guys can think of, any album like that, that you just, you listen to and you literally could listen to that thing over and over and over and over again and not get sick of it? So Scott, go ahead. I'll start with you. Is there an album like that? And,
oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, that you've listened to a tons of, and again, for you, you know, probably influenced, you know, your career later as a musician as well.
Oh yeah. I mean, aside from Hysteria, because that was definitely one, but yeah. Another one that I wore out was Kiss Crazy Nights. Ugh, and I know a lot of Kiss fans don't like Jesus, that album.
You read my mind. My parents would
totally
kill me.
Just I wore fell in love with that album. Fell in love with that album when it came out. Because the video, right? Like premiered on, I think it premiered on Headbangers Ball. I was already a Kiss fan, but after seeing that, that was it. It was like Kiss from that point on only, pretty much.
That's, yeah, that, oh man, Crazy Nights. That was the album that came out by them when I was actually working in the record store. So I remember we would get new release lists. And when I saw that, because you really didn't know, you had Billboard. You had Billboard magazine back then to really tell you if there were things coming out by new bands. Other than that, we had no internet. So you had no clue when someone was coming out with something. So seeing it on MTV or, you know, for us, we'd get that copy of Billboard. So we'd be leafing through it and you would see what was on the way out. And then I remember, you know, I was anticipating the release date of that. When I got into work that day, I remember going in the back and there's five boxes of albums and cassettes and CDs. I'm like, oh, yep. I'm like, yep, give me an album. Give me a cassette. I bought all three. And I was like, but oh yeah, that was such a great album. Rusty says Van Halen 1984.
Oh yeah, that's another good one.
Panama Jump. I love the song Rusty, I'll Wait. Was such a good song. And it wasn't even a song that really that they released off of their Hot for Teacher. It was such a good album. Such a good album. Ed,
Rusty, if Kiss Crazy Nights was one that my parents, I must have played that they wanted to kill me, but then my next one would have been Beastie Boys' License to Ill. The funny thing is I was young and the cuss words on it, but still I must have wore the living shit out of that one. And you know what, another one I wore out was David Lee Roth, the one with Just Like Paradise. I must have played that song a million times too. Yep. Skyscraper. Yep. That one too. There was a bunch of those at the time that I would just play the hell out of them, and my parents would want, because you didn't, you know, I did have a Walkman, but then the Walkman would break, so you just put it on the tape player and
or the batteries died, because the batteries we had back then sucked and they'd last like 3-4 hours and you'd have to get new ones. Yes.
Appetite for whoever Facebook user Appetite for Destruction. Oh. Yeah, that was another one.
White Snake self-titled album.
White Snake, yes.
White Snake self-titled album from 1987 with Here I Go Again and Is This Love and
Quiet Riot Mental Health.
I have a funny quick story about Whitesnake. I was working in the store, and one of the guys that we worked with, and it was like we had a cast of characters in there too. And one of the guys that was in there was a known metalhead. So he was the guy who listened to all the metal, and he listened to it. So an older gentleman came into the store. It was probably around the holidays. I don't know. The guy was probably in his, maybe his 60s, 70s. He comes in and he said, "Yeah, you guys have that song Still of the Night." Now, obviously, he meant in the still of the night. Well, yeah. There's our metalhead that worked there. The guy's name was Jim. He walks over to him and he goes, "Yeah, man, we have Still of the Nights right here." Oh, Whitesnake, man. Grabs him the Whitesnake album and gives him.
Oh, no.
And he looked at it funny. And then he turned it over and you can see the picture of the band on the back. And he's like, "Son, I don't really think this is the one I meant. I don't think this is right." I'm like, "Oh, it was great." That was awesome. Bon Jovi, Slippery When Wet.
Motley Crue, Dr. Feelgood.
Dr. Feelgood was amazing. Big Dan's talking some pop rock too. George Michael, Father Figure. The video for that, yeah, that was a great album. Like a Prayer by Madonna. Ed mentioned that. Yeah. Nancy saying LL Cool J. So we got a little bit of time left. Let's get into that a little bit too. Sid and Ed was talking about the crossovers earlier between rock and rap, and you can't really do an MTV, especially a video show, and not talk about Yo MTV Raps, because again, when rap started to get popular, and listen, I think my first introduction to rap was Grandmaster Flash. White You're Lines, old. Of course, is the one that everybody remembers, but I remember buying an album and I literally could recite a lot of the songs from, there's a song called New York, New York. And I could still today remember the lyrics from New York, New York. Them, of course, Run DMC, was just absolutely tremendous. And even, King of Rock was such a great song. And then you had the Beastie Boys, and then it just kind of ballooned from there. LL Cool J. And the song I'm the Type of Guy, which they played regularly on MTV, absolutely loved by LL Cool J. But rap took off and it basically did its own show. So they gave it a show called Yo MTV Raps. And that was when I really kind of was the father to the rap music and stuff that we have today. And again, you'll probably hear the same thing from the artists that are doing that stuff today, that are a little bit older, had probably started by listening to a lot of those bands. So Yo MTV Raps, Ed, came a little bit later on.
Yes, sir.
But it was an absolutely, again, another genre of music that really built the 80s and really, led to a lot of what we've got today.
Dr. Dre and Ed Lover. We're the hosts.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And the first one, it was a rapper, Africa Bombast, Bombasta, I think. I'm probably butchering the hell out of the name, was the first guest. And then it was NWA, Public Enemy, I think LL Cool J, they were on it. Fresh Prince, DJ Jazzy Jeff, and the Fresh Prince were on the first episode. They were all on there, and they pretty much, that was like the Headbangers Ball, like the rap version of the Headbangers Ball. And I think it went on to like 2005, but that was it. They would show the rap versions of it because, metalheads wanted their videos, and the same thing. There was the pop videos and all the middle, and then, the metalheads wanted their side with all their rock stuff, and the rap people, like all the kids that wanted the rap videos, like NWA and all that, they said, "Well, why can't we have ours?" Well, during that time, you really couldn't show that kind of stuff during regular hours. You couldn't show because, that was the way of life in like their neighborhoods with all people getting shot and drive-bys. And also during afternoons and stuff, the advertisers and all, they didn't want that kind of stuff. They wouldn't show that, so they had to have a programming for it. So that's where that came along. And yeah. I mean, it caught on like crazy. It was very popular. They had their they had their shows and everything like that with their concerts and all that stuff, kind of just like Headbangers Ball. that kind of spiraled into like, what was that show with the guy from The Real World, Eric, where they had like their dance shows and stuff like that.
They led into, I think I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember the guy's name either. But
Eric Nice, he had like a hip hop dance thing and all that. Like they had all those kind of things like there as well. But you know, it was just a popular thing too, just kind of like Headbanger's Ball. It was just the yin and the yang of the, if you will. That's the best way I could explain it.
Yeah, but all different kind of music. Scott, did you take any influences at all from rap music and, you know, the crossovers and stuff that you saw, you know, back in the 80s with the and people are mentioning Fab Five Freddy, Two Live Crew, NWA came along and basically brought suburbia, a taste of South Central. And eventually we learned about G-Funk says Big Dan. Did you take anything from the rap era to, you know, as far as being a musician, and you know, what did that bring to you as far as any kind of inspiration and stuff goes?
In the early days, it didn't really inspire me. I would say down the road when I got more into electronic and synth kind of music, like it, definitely percussion and drums. Like, I mean, hip hop and rap have some of the most interesting drum beats and things like that. So in that way, it influenced me. But early on, it didn't. I did listen to it, you know, Run DMC, LL Cool J, and Fresh Prince, and stuff like that. But as soon as the 90s came in, though, I just completely, you know, because that's when I started playing in bands, and it was just all metal all the time by that point.
Yep.
So I had kind of left it behind.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it. Yeah, we forgot about DJ Jazzy Jeff. I mean, oh my God, did he come out and explode too with the videos that he did? Parents Just Don't Understand.
Yeah,
he actually did a video for Nightmare on Elm Street too. It was called Nightmare on My Street, right. I believe is the name of the song that he did.
Yeah.
Totally came out and just blew everybody away with that. Chris is talking about Grateful Dead. Grateful Dead, of course, if you're a Dead fan, they came back with Touch of Grey, and it was a very big change of music for them. It was a top 40 rotation song. You heard that a lot on the radio and stuff like that, and they were a group you really never heard that from before. Absolutely. You had people that had come out from bands that had gone away. So a guy like Robert Plant, Zeppelin was in the rearview mirror, and he comes out and he does some amazing albums in the 80s. He did a song called Tall Cool One that was such a great album too. And like stuff like you wouldn't have heard him really doing before, which was more, you know, it was more almost kind of pop rock, I would say, from him. So a little different. Nancy says Duran Duran. Yeah, I mean, listen, Duran Duran's another band. Like, nothing they did would ever go without a video. They went hand in hand with videos, absolutely. They did the song for the James Bond movie, View to a Kill, which was absolutely an amazing video. I was thinking Hall & Oates. Hall & Oates became MTV darlings. They were on the show all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And they were basically a soul band from Philadelphia. And then they all of a sudden...
Yeah!
Yes, Googley.
He had. Speaking of him, he had such a beautiful mustache. Not as good as
John Oates did.
Not as good as my mustache, though.
No, it's not. No, yours is nice and red.
I'll never tell the secret to my mustache, though. Never.
Oh yes, John Oates would be.
Prince, you're doing a good job. Just wanted to tell you that.
Hey, I posted a link there. It's called right there in our chat, Knotfest, www.knotfest.com. It said here that on March 17th, 2021, it was announced that Ricky Rockman would be hosting The Ball, airing on Gimme Metal TV and presented by Knotfest.com. I don't know what Gimme Metal TV is. But it said the show finds Rockman reviving that classic heavy metal music video show feel in an episode that would feature videos from the likes of Megadeth, Metallica, Power Trip, and so much more. The first episode premiered on March 27th, 21. So I don't know if Ricky's trying to bring back the ball or what, but maybe check it out and see like what it could be.
Cool.
So that's according to that.
That's awesome.
So yeah, who knows?
I was pretty thrilled that Ricky retweeted our post when I put that up. I'm like, oh, Ricky Rackman retweeted that. I would love to see. And I know they brought back MTV Classic, which, all right, that's cool. They'll do like rotations of 80s stuff and 90s stuff. But I would love, and I don't know why they haven't. When you have a show, when you have, you have a channel now dedicated to that, man, why not bring these things back? Unless there's something that prevents them from doing it. And I don't know, maybe it's because of the record labels not being around anymore. And maybe it's just too hard to find, I don't know, permission to play them. I don't know what it is.
Has to be maybe copyrights or something. Yeah, you know,
that's like what I was thinking. Like, I don't know why they wouldn't put old Headbangers Balls back on again. Oh my God. I would love to see. You're able to go on and you're able to find lists of the songs that aired during the shows and everything like that. But even on YouTube, like you can't go and look up like the classic. You can see some of the ones from the 90s, but you can't go and find those ones from the 80s and as a complete show. If you do, it'll be someone that may have taped it off of a videotape, off a VCR tape, and it looks horrible. And you can't even see it. But I really wish they would put those back out. That would be amazing.
I do too. Yeah, they won't even release them on DVD or anything. So it must be a licensing thing, I bet.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
It has to be something like that. Yeah.
That's a shame. I mean, people were rolling out metal bands. I mean, yeah, we for Megadeth, Iron Maiden. What was the song? Can I Play with Madness by Iron Maiden Seventh Son of a Seventh Son. I love that song.
Yeah.
But a lot of these bands that, again, you just, you weren't really privy to, a lot of them were underground. And then you talk about like the more of the ones that they used to call it became alternative, but they used to call it college rock because you were hearing a lot of these bands on college campuses.
Like R.E.M. were a big college rock band.
The Cure.
The Cure. I love The Cure.
Same here.
Depeche Mode was like an underground. Yeah.
Yeah.
Depeche. A lot of these bands
Susie
were more.
And the Banshees.
Susie and the Banshees. U2 was early on until they got just huge. Susie and the Banshees is great. But a lot of that stuff was, you didn't really hear that a lot on rotation. MTV would play them every now and then, but even that you didn't get a whole lot of, but that stuff was great. Anthrax was another one, Rusty. Yeah. Ricky was just on the Eddie Trunk show and said MTV didn't even celebrate the 40-year anniversary. That's a shame. That's a shame. That's a real shame. Yeah, I mean, oh my gosh. You would think, that, but see that, and again, they've changed so much.
Yeah.
They went more to a, when the real world started and when all that kind of stuff started.
Which we'll talk about.
Yeah, we'll talk about that down the road. So it's kind of a segue to a later show. But a lot of it kind of, when the videos went away and all of that came about, then it became a completely different thing. I guess, when they got away from it, they're like, I don't know. Maybe the thought was that music has changed so much that people just don't care and they're not going to watch videos anymore. But yeah, I don't know. The B-52 says Keith Murphy. Yeah, they were another one. Rock Lobster, I remember from them. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Keith, we didn't say welcome too. It's Wednesday night and you're here. Welcome aboard.
Yeah, hey Keith. I was always scared of Eddie, their mascot.
Nancy, you'd have a heart attack at their shows then. Concerts.
They used to have the big Eddie on the stage.
Oh yeah. She's at a Guar concert. Oh my God. Can you imagine?
Oh my God.
I got to attend a Guar concert once, and I'll tell you, those are absolutely wild. I'll never forget my buddy Alan one time said, you want to see a VHS? He had a VHS tape of a Guar concert. You ever see one of those? And man, that's something one of the craziest experiences. And then going to see it live, this is before he passed away, Odorous. Wow, that's something else. That was amazing. Off topic.
No, you're good. Actually, while we're on that subject, we'll we'll go to this, and then we'll get to the lyric a little later. I want Scott to talk a little bit about what he's working on as well while he's here. But so I'll ask you guys about that too. Now, I didn't get to see mine until I was much older, because obviously in the 80s, parents in the 80s really weren't big on taking kids to concerts, especially concerts that you'd actually like. They would take you to some shows they liked, but so Ed was just talking about a concert. Scott, first concert, I guess, and that you can remember of an 80s band that you liked. Who was the first one you got to see live?
Oh, wow. The first band I got to see was Kiss, but an actual 80s band was probably, I do remember seeing Wasp and Rat. But it's really blurry on which one I saw first. But when I did, I think I saw Wasp with Motorhead, if I remember correctly. Wow. It was back in the 90s. But definitely was just, wow, what a show. And Blackie had this this mic stand that was like a motorcycle handles, and he would get on it and move around. It was just really, really wild show.
That's awesome. That's awesome. My first real concert, was 90s as well. And it was Kiss Without Makeup. It was the Hot in the Shade tour. And I got to see them play with Slaughter and Circus of Power. I think were the two bands that they played with.
Circus of Power.
Yeah, I forgot about them too. And I was just thinking of them. I'm like, oh, yeah. But yeah, so they were actually the first like 80s band, they were 70s band, but that was the first concert I got to see any of those bands. I'm trying to cross a lot of them off the list, as many of them as I can that can come and play, that will come play and
that are alive,
that are still right. I mean, still living. And that's a shame too, because there's artists I really wish I would have seen. I was a big Robert Palmer fan in the 80s. Loved Robert Palmer, and I never got to see him. Of course, he passed away young. But
do you remember when we saw Raw? And we went to WWE Raw came to our town, right. It was the night after Robert Palmer died. So Joe made a big sign that said, "Rest in peace, Robert Palmer."
I did.
We were facing where those cameras were facing. So there's Joe holding up the big sign that says, "Rest in peace, Robert Palmer." That tells you what a big 80s nerd Joe is.
I was upset.
Everybody else has signs that says, like, Undertaker and, like, all that. And there's Joe, rest in peace. He's like, what's his name? John Cusack holding the boombox in peace, Robert Palmer. And can't that's friggin' Joe.
Can't imagine the looks I got going in there.
Yeah. You know, they didn't confiscate that sign, I'll tell you that much.
I try to knock some of them. I just saw Rat recently, actually. I took my oldest daughter to see them. And they were, they still sounded good. Like, Stephen Pearcy sounded really good. I was actually surprised when I went in. I'm like, I'm not, you wonder how these guys are going to sound. And he's got a very distinct voice too. Very gravelly. He always would sing kind of, I want to say. But he sounded really good. I was pleasantly surprised. It was a great show. My daughter loved it. So
I always wanted to see Poison. I never saw them. That's a band, now they wouldn't be good to see older, but back in the day, I'm sure it was like a hell of a show.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. So we are over time, but that's okay. Scott, tell us, tell all the guys in the chat, Scott's working on his new album. So tell everybody in the chat what you've been working on. Of course, when your projected date for your album to come out is. And I know Scott said he's going to be joining us again right around the release date of your album as well. So that's exciting.
Awesome. Yeah, it's really exciting because my first album, I mean, all my music has always been inspired by the 80s, but it's not been as conscious with the first album that I released. I mean, certain songs, but it was more like sometimes when you're writing a song, you just kind of like, start playing chords or notes like that. And then you just kind of work off of that. It's, those ideas. But for this album, it was very conscious that I went back and just kind of was inspired by a lot of 80s. So this album is definitely a lot more 80s sounding. Kind of more like nice. If you can think of Starship, you know, Fleetwood Mac in the 80s, Stevie nice. Nicks, you know, Belinda Carlisle, you know, Mr. It's got that kind of sound to it.
Yeah, I love
you know?
Them too.
So definitely more of an 80s pop rock.
I kinda, can't wait.
Kind of album.
Awesome.
And I'm hoping if things go right, because that's one thing about, you know, recording and mixing an album is you always plan like, oh, I'm going to release on this date, but it never, at least from my experience, you never hit the target date. But tentatively it's planned for late September and at the latest late October. But I'm really shooting for late September.
Well, we would awesome. Love to have you back on when you're releasing yeah. it.
Oh, I'd be honored.
Talk all Thank about you. It. What do you have a name for it?
Yes. It's called Dreaming in Color. Awesome. And I mean, the cover
Great is name.
Totally
Great name
80s. So as soon as you see the cover, you'll be like, oh yeah, that's kind of like Duran Duran or something like that. It's got that kind of 80s kind of thing going on.
That's a total awesome. 80s name for it too. I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome.
That's fantastic.
Thank you.
Oh man. We got to hear a taste of the song as well, because he's doing a video for that. And he was nice enough to ask Ed and myself to give him videos.
Yes.
To be in.
Thank you guys.
Bit. So yeah,
oh, thank you.
Oh, God, thank you for asking us. It's like a dream of mine. But yeah, so it.
Joe cried for about an hour straight. I had to console him after that.
I was verklempt. I was.
Mm-hmm. I had to hold his head on my shoulder and pat.
Talk
him
amongst
like
yourselves. Talk amongst
yeah, I know.
Yourselves.
Yes. Verklempt. Yes. Yes. Oh man.
Gina wants to know real quick, what do you do to prep to get into the groove or the mindset to record for like your album? Wow. How do you get yourself like mentally prepared?
Honestly, I would say watching a really good movie. Like it could be anything. Like it could be something that's just really melancholy. It could be something really uplifting or something really scary. I think that's probably my biggest push as far as inspiration. Musically though, like I was saying earlier, just kind of taking and listening to just a certain set of albums and just getting into a mood, because I think for me personally, my favorite thing about albums, which was a huge thing in the 80s and the 70s, is when you listen to an album from start to finish, it just has this feeling about it. It's very cohesive. And so that's what I try to do, is either a movie or just listen to like three or four different albums. Like for this one, you know, I was saying I listened to a lot of Stevie Nicks, Fleetwood Mac, Heart, and that kind of stuff to get kind of inspired.
And that inspires you to write it or just to
yes.
record it?
All right, oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, it, you know, because it definitely kind of helps build a mood. And as soon as I start writing, which it could be either piano or guitar. And when I start writing on there, then I'll kind of just kind of take that feeling I got off of, whether it was a couple of albums I listened to or even just the feeling of a movie. You know, for instance, let's just say you were watching a movie that was very melancholy, then like the first few chords you'll just start playing will have that feeling to it, like very sad and whatnot, or very ominous. And I think from that point it gets easier, because that kind of builds the mood of what you're going for. And in the case of this album called Dreaming in Color, I really wanted it to have that kind of whimsical, very dreamy, surreal feeling to it. So, yeah, that's why I listen to a lot of those 80s pop rock bands. Cause for me, I mean, like for instance, the song These Dreams by Heart, right? It's
such an awesome song.
Yeah. And so I really wanted to capture something similar to that, you know.
And when you write a song, like, do you have a message, or do you just like whatever, like if you want to write a song, is it just like whatever you feel like writing, or is it just like you have a message you want to get across, or is it just like, I want to write about my old pair of Converse? Like, what is it that just,
it's kind of a combination. For this particular album, it was very heavily inspired by a lot of stuff going on, like the pandemic and the stuff that happened with the riots and all that, and also being inspired just by a lot of the stuff, you know, that evokes a lot of emotion. Like, for instance, like I was talking about Headbangers Ball and looking back to all the old times, the radio, sitting by the radio and listening to your favorite songs with a tape, getting ready to record, right? Yes. Your favorite song.
Yeah.
Like, all that stuff is also things I think that really kind of, you know, creates the album as well, because, you know, not only are you letting like what the current situation of the world is doing to you, affecting you and inspiring you, but also nostalgia and the memories you have and going mm-hmm. back to your childhood and remembering your first crush or your best friend, or, you know, all those things I think encompass everything that eventually will, you know, kind of bake the cake, right? You know, finish this product, you know? So it's fun. I really enjoy it. I mean, I think that's what's great about the creative process is you're kind of basically in a way taking everything that is, you know, creating who you are as a person and all your experiences. And then it gives you a chance to say, hey, you know, I want to share this with you. So that's what's exciting about it. In a way, it's what you guys do, right? Because you're expressing how you feel about all these moments in your life. And you've got all that pent up and inside of you, and now you're kind of sharing it with the world. So it's exactly the same thing.
That's awesome.
We can't wait.
Can't
wait to share the living life out of it.
You mentioned Mr. and Fleetwood Mac, and I saw, like, again, they're two, like, welcome to the real world. I could listen to Back to Front and Front to Back.
Right?
Oh, and then, man, Fleetwood Mac's Tango in the Night is another one. I was just listening to my gosh, one of the songs on the second side of the album.
Keith,
the whole album's great. But I absolutely love that album. No, I can't wait. Yeah,
Jesus,
like
Dan.
I said, Dublay is gonna be rolling in female puppets. Oh, Dan, god, Dan.
This is
gonna
be Dublay's new lovemaking video lovemaking CD after this.
The gigolo.
All right, Joe, let's get the
yes, let's do the lyrics so we can we can take off in the Wayback Machine. All right, here we go. I think is going to be pretty easy, but I'm going to start it from the middle, so it won't be such an easy giveaway. All right. Such a woman, you've got style. You make every man feel like a child. You've got some kind of hold on me. You're all wrapped up in mystery. So there you go. Tell me who sang it. Name of the band, and if you know the name of the song, that's even better. Let us know. That was the lyric right there. I just read it for you. If you don't know, shout it out if you know what it is.
Is this for anybody?
Yeah, it's for anybody.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Photograph.
Absolutely.
Def Leppard.
I knew the musician here would get it. It was like, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, that was an easy one. It was Photographed by Def Leppard. Yes.
Nancy didn't get to say The Wiz.
Nancy didn't say The Wiz.
Nancy.
There you go.
Nancy just says The Wiz for everyone. Where the
She's
hell is Nancy? I think we lost her.
I'm going to give her a lyric from The Wiz one of these weeks.
Oh, Nancy said, I think it's The Wiz.
There it is.
A little leg. Oh, there's
Chris said Def Leppard as well. Yes, yep. It was. It's from Photograph. Obviously, Pyromania was another amazing album. And that's really the album that got me listening to Def Leppard. Hysteria, of course, was tremendous. But
I think Scott does win. He has the quickest response, the quickest correct response
yeah,
ever.
He did. And yeah, there you go. So the musician gets it, obviously. It had to be that one. Awesome. Well, there you go, guys. So our first episode, all about MTV. We hope you enjoyed it. And obviously, thank you, Scott, again,
for
coming in.
Thank you, guys.
I know it was short notice, so really appreciate your time tonight and appreciate you coming out with us and sharing your memories about the MTV that actually played music, which was an absolutely amazing time. Awesome. Thank you. And obviously, yes, looking forward to Scott's album. And when that does come out, we will, of course, let you guys know. And then we'll have Scott back to talk all about the record. So that's going to be fantastic. Can't wait to have you back, man. Can't wait to hear the album.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much, Joe and Ed. It's an honor always to be on here. You know, if I had time, I'd be on here a lot because I love this show.
Oh, feel free to drop in anytime. Shoot us an email whenever you're bored to hop in.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man. If you're not doing anything on a Wednesday night, you're always welcome.
Yeah. Hit us up.
Thank you so much. And definitely welcome. Thanks all you guys, you know, Gina, Rockin' Wrestling, Dan, Keith, and all of them, you know.
And our friends in Australia.
All of them.
Our listeners in somewhere in Australia that they said we still don't know where, but yeah, you know. I'm humbled that you wait for my answers. Yes. But there it is, another episode of I Live the 80s. Guys, we really, really appreciate you being here with us.
We love you guys.
And every Wednesday night. And we are going to get on the way back machine. We're going to get out of here for this week. And listen, we hope you have a great week. Stay safe. And we hope we see you again next Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we will have part two of our four-part MTV special. So,
and hey, everybody, that intro and outro is by that guy down there.
Right.
So thank him. Yes. All right. And ready? Absolutely. You're going to hear it now. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.